Blog Talk Radio.
Right here on Radio Talk 101.3. It's Saturday and it's at 10 o'clock. Shoot starts at 10 o'clock. And as we promised, today we're going to be having as our guest, Reverend Philip Blamo from Liberia. Reverend Philip Blamo is going to be our guest today. We're going to be talking about Liberia, the religious sector of Liberia, the import of the religious sector in the affairs of the Liberians and the Liberian government, and the issues of Liberia leading to 2023 presidential election. So stay tuned. Keep your dial tuned in to Radio Talk 101.3. And we're going to bring on Reverend Flomo in a few minutes. It's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. 101.3. Yeah, that was Am I Dreaming by Liberian artist Otto, a.k.a. Sugar Vaughn. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. I'm going to play you something new we got in from another Liberian artist, Jody Clark. And it's called Game Over. You're listening to Game Over by Jody Clark right here on Radio Talk 101.3.
It's Jordan. Back with another one. Make your body move that.
Game over.
Monty know exactly what she wants. She work her body just to get whatever. She's the life of the party. She know how to work everybody.
The
every time that you move around, on the body. ya mchezo ya hatari, yani tamu kasukari, anavyopatika ananitishisha. Marco sweet like Duke King, she played that game, she played the game. When she gave it to you,
game over. When she gave it to you, game over. When Marco gave it to you, game over. When she gave it to you, game over. When Marco gave it to you, game over.
Marco say she from Duporo.
Marco say she from Sunny Cole.
She know how to work up, body at it. She know how to get that money at it.
Jody Clark, LIB recording artist. I love that song. You should see the video. It's hot. It is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Like I told you, we're going to be having as our guest, Reverend Philip Blamo, spiritual leader from Liberia and a spiritual leader to the world. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Keep your dial tuned in. We're going to be having our guest in a few minutes, so stay tuned. This is Bismarck. We're going to play another song from Jody before we bring in Reverend Blamo, and it's called Waiting. Jody Clark, Waiting.
Waiting for the right one to come your way. Ooh.
with you, girl. And I know you need a man who will understand, treat you like a queen that you are. How long you've been waiting for someone to sweep you off your feet?
Waiting by Jody Clark, LIB recording artist. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. But as we told you, we're bringing on our Reverend Philip Blamo as our guest today. Want to say good morning to Reverend Blamo.
Good morning, Bismarck. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right, thank God. And you?
Oh, we thank God, man. Are you getting me loud and clear?
Yes, perfectly. It's a pleasure to have you on this morning, Reverend Blamo. We have a lot we have to discuss. And let's get started, because the listeners have been waiting. Firstly, can you please tell the listening world a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm Reverend Philip S. Blamo. Personally, I'm a Liberian missionary here in the United States, to be exact, in Connecticut, USA. I am a humanitarian. I am an educator. And I am a community a leader. I was a former Eastern Regional Vice President of the Liberian Association's Union of Liberian Association in Americas, EULA. My responsibility was to be the overseer of the vice president of the region to help help disputes, you know, get other people together, especially in the regional area. And I also former vice president of the Liberian Community Association in Connecticut, and currently I'm the president-elect of the Liberian Community Association in Connecticut. And I'm also a broadcast journalist, former a journalist from LBS, the Liberian Broadcasting Corporation at the time, ELBC. I used to be a freelance reporter. And I'm also social advocate here in the United States. I've been involved in a lot of other stuff, and also I'm a humanitarian. Like I said, I have a school in Liberia. I work in Blamo Institute. It's a junior high school. Hopefully it's going to be a high school pretty soon. And also constructing a clinic. There are so many things I'm involved in too. And also a reverend here with the New Creation International Ministry. And also in the future, hopefully, to run for the presidency in Liberia as well.
Okay. Okay. That's a big ambition. Okay. But let's get down into some details from Liberia, some issues. Lately, we've heard about some serious murders, rape, ritualistic killing. What's going on in Liberia, Reverend Blamo? I mean, what's the participation of the religious sector of Liberia concerning these issues? Because it seems as if there's nothing being done by the government. We saw the killing of the auditors, bodies left on the street in cars. We saw the killing of the three young boys. Now we heard a recording from another lady who claimed that she was kidnapped from a motorbike. There was something used on her to paralyze her, but she could see and know what was going on with her. She was taken to a place to be where they had other females, and parts were extracted from them. For what purposes, I don't know. But when she was placed on the table, after they undressed her, they found out that she was menstruating. And that was what saved her life, she and another lady. Later on at night, they took them out on the road and dropped them off. You know. So what's going on, Reverend Blamo?
Yeah, actually, I can tell you what's actually going on. But from all indication, I think, you know, we came from the Civil War. And most of our people in Liberia, you know, are traumatized. You know, people still live with that mentality of aggression, hatred, jealousy, and envy. You know, I think the government should do more than what they are doing. You know, those things gave birth to violence in our country. Those things gave birth to things in our country that will cause crime rate, the high crime rate. And all. So government needs to focus on that. And in focusing on that, the government need to use justice. In as much as they try to help and create the atmosphere where our people can be de-traumatized, where our people can live in peace, where our people can be secure in their own country, I think they should more focus on the security of our country. And in doing so, you have to have justice. You see, the government at the time right now, I think they are a little bit slack on, you know, enforcing justice in our country. You know, you cannot enforce justice if you are not finding ways in order to help the people. You know, like I said, the people are traumatized after the war. People don't have, you know, the basic necessities of life. You know, they make it more difficult, and they are more aggressive if they don't have those things. You know, so the government should do more. So as a result, when the government is not focusing on penalizing people, then of course people will not have a fear for the law. People dying, you know, people raping people, people dying mysteriously, you know, and government, people not seeing the actions of government. People are not seeing people getting away with a lot of stuff. So you create that atmosphere, you create that room, and people begin to do a lot of stuff. You know, what happened to the kisses of those people? What happened to them? People die, and the auditor that they killed, and they came, you know, people up to now, we don't know, you know? And there are a lot of stuff going on. I can't accuse the government of doing something. There are some other stuff the government don't know anything about, you know? But because of their poor or the weaknesses in handling crime rate in our country, those things fear, it puts fear to investors. Don't instill fear to other people who want to invest in our country. Because when the security situation is not under control, it's just very hard. You know, it's just very hard for people to look after the government like that. You see? So the government need to do more than just what they are doing. They need to make sure that not only finding way, you know, to help curtail the crime rate is not only getting harsh on the people, create jobs. When people are not working, then of course the people go on the street to do something criminal. You get what I'm saying? And the creation of jobs is everybody's business. It's everybody's business. Yeah. So if to create a job is everybody's business, everybody have to be. But before the job can be created, people have to have the security, need to be protected. People want to invest into the country. How will they invest into the country when the security situation is terrible? You know, people flee for their lives.
Is it the government that does not want to do it? I mean, I'm sure they see it. They know what's going on. The news is there. The police have been informed, especially as this lady narrated. She said that she, when they were dropped off, she ran to the police station. She told the police officer, at the desk what was going on. And he stated to her that they had already had a report of similar incident, and they were going to get back to her. But sadly, they did not get back to her. Now, where's the disconnect here? Is it the disconnect between the police and the citizenry? Or is there something going on that needs to be investigated on the part of the police? Unwillingness to address these or investigate these crimes. Are they somehow involved?
You see, like I said, the security of the country depends on the emphasis that the government will put on how they can make sure that they have the security that people can trust. And in order to build up the security you should have, you make sure that the security are well paid, they are well equipped. You know, if they are well paid, well equipped, then of course they will be ready to protect the citizens of a country. But if...
But still, Mr. Blamo, still Reverend Blamo, mm-hmm. Reverend Blamo, there's still loyalty and patronage to the country. They swore an oath to serve their duty. And their duty, that's their duty. This one also serves their duty, and that's their duty. You know, there's no excuse for, not responding to heinous crimes like that.
No, how can you respond? How can you respond diligently to a crime if you are not well paid, if you're not well equipped? We remember they are human beings as well. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, well, they know their duty. They know their duty is to protect the citizen. It's know their duty to fight crime. But you cannot fight crime if you are not well paid. You cannot fight crime if you are not well equipped. You cannot fight crime. So the people need to be well paid. See, it's so surprising. It's not surprising to us, you know, especially modern African country, where it's easy. You see police being bribed on the street, broad daylight. In other developed countries or developing countries, you don't find that like that. Because the people have been paid already to do the work. I'm not saying it's going to eliminate bribe security officers. It's still, even in the United States and other parts of the world, it's still being done. People are still doing this kind of corruption is there. But we're not saying we can eradicate corruption.
Yeah.
But we can minimize it. We can minimize the corruption. In order to minimize this corruption, we have to have a program in place where security is supposed to be number one. Yes, pay our security. Yes, equip our security.
Yeah.
You know, and those things will be able to, our security are doing. I'm not saying, you know, there will still be security, there will still be corruption, there will still be other stuff going on. You know, but the situations in our country, especially in Liberia, just imagine, security will not take pay, will not even, he's not been paid, he has not taken pay for the past 6 months. What do you expect him? What do you expect a policeman who has not taken pay for the past 6 months or 4 months on the street? He's vulnerable. He will be vulnerable like any other group of people. They will be vulnerable. So as a result, what happens is they go into crisis, they go into situations that will kind of destroy their image. And they know that. They know they're not supposed to take bribe. They know that they're not supposed to do other things.
I understand, Reverend Blamo. I mean, you're right. You're right. Yeah, they need to be paid, you know, all those things, you know. But they still have the responsibility to serve their duty, you know, and they still have to serve their duty, but they do have an avenue where they can address the issues of pay, you know. But let's go to another issue, you know. I wanted to address that issue because lives are important, no matter who it is, you know, that dies in my spirit. Their life is definitely important.
Let's consider this. It's very much important, you know, because anybody who goes to Liberia, I want to be protected by the security. You get what I'm saying? So therefore, the excuses, if you talk to the security officers in Monrovia or in Liberia, they will tell you the same thing I'm telling you. So the government, look, if anything breaks down, when the security situation breaks down in our country, when people are dying mysteriously in our country, and that things are not happening, it goes back on the government. It's the government responsibility, no matter what, to protect the people. Once you enter a country under that protections of the government, anything mysteriously happen to you is the government. Especially the mysterious life. Even if something happened, we need investigation. We need the result. What happened to this person? People are dying and people not getting to know what's happened. Even in the greater United States, they will make sure to go into the issues. They will make sure they will get the corporate or whosoever is involved. You know what I'm saying? If you are fighting crime, if you are fighting crime, if people see, even if you are bringing the perpetrator to justice and punishing them, at least we say, okay, the government is doing something. The government is fighting crime. But things are happening and the government is not really, you know, trying to even if they're trying, but people are not seeing the results. People are not seeing the end results of what is going on. You think they're not going to trust the government. You know, they're not going to trust the government because if people in the country are not trusting the government for their lives, then how do you think people go in the fat book of records, when the CIA have fat book of records, and they will tell you the situation in Liberia, high risk of security situation. This, you know, investor, when they start to read or when they are reading those things, they will say, well, you know, I don't want to invest into this country. I don't want to go to do business in this country. We're not saying that there's no crime in other countries, but we have to see. When people see your effort in fighting crime, it gives them the boost and say, yes, you know, when somebody dies in this place mysteriously, the government can come to an investigation and they will find the perpetrator. They can't stop the death.
Yeah.
They can make sure that they investigate. They can make sure they can stop the death as well in the time they want to, but they can make sure that the fighting crime people seeing it. No, nothing happened in Liberia. We want a government that will protect us, that if anything happens, you know, they will go into it. They will make sure you will find the perpetrator and will bring them to justice. And justice will be done.
Yep.
If that 10 years you go into prison, you go into prison for 10 years. People raping our children, they just go in and find it on the street the next time. You know, what happened to all the people in jail? You know, we don't want a kind of government. We want government. No, let me tell you something. Our God is the God of justice. He as much is the God of peace. And as much as the God of love, he is the God of justice. If somebody killed in Liberia, if the capital punishment is not part of our law, if that person is to go in jail for 25 years, 30 years, let them go in jail. What happened to the killers? There are a lot of people who kill people in Liberia. Go and farm. Do your own investigation. Do your own statistics. Most of them are not in prison right now. Where are they? You know, people bribe people to get out. So it's just easy to kill.
Reverend Blamo, that's a big problem in Liberia. You just struck a chord just now. You talk about bribery. You see, bribery is a big problem in Liberia, destroying the society and the government, you know. Now, you spoke about the police and other form of security being underpaid. So would you agree that is there somebody around you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're getting
Go ahead.
Would you agree that this whole problem started from Madame Salif and Boyka's government by highly increasing the salary of that of government officials and giving just little breadcrumbs to that of the civil servants, the nurses, the police, you know, immigration, military, government employees, you know, working at ministries and agencies and all of that. So would you agree that that's where the problem came from? Because there's a huge disparity. I mean, they started paying off these senators and representatives around $15,000 a month. Members of the cabinet around $15,000, $20,000 a month. Members of the judiciary around the same area. And civil servants like the people like the police, the nurses, the teachers. I mean, not even the teachers, the military and whatnot. They would pay about $150 to $200. Do you see the problem there? So do you agree that that's where it came from?
It came from long, long before that. Long, long before that. That thing being in the from 1847. You know,
but if we go back long before that, you can't compare the pay rate long before that to that of now. And most especially, Liberia came from a very destructive state. We're trying to recover, to repair. You can't just raise salary rate that high. It took off about 85% of the budget all the time, which didn't make sense. It left nothing for development, nothing for human development, infrastructure, nothing. So that was started by Ellen and Boyka. You can go back to 1847. I mean, it started with Ellen Boyka when she raised the salary pay that high when Liberia was just coming from a war, which was ridiculous. And they are even, if you check the salary and benefits, they are paid more than the American senators and representatives and members of the House. So it's ridiculous.
So what's the question now?
So I was asking you, would you agree that it started from there that created this problem that you spoke about with the lack of pay for police and all of that and lack of resources to tackle these issues?
You see, it's just very hard to blame the current administration or the Ellen administration without going back to what set up this whole thing that came about. You know, I'm not saying because this administration of Ellen should have corrected that too, and they should have been under correction because they know. And you know,
Ellen's administration was a brand new start.
Yeah, it was a brand new start. You see, people say they have love for the country, but love takes sacrifice. I think most of the time people go into administration, they go in there for their own personal, you know, stuff. They want
that's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. They go in there for their own personal stuff. They want to go take money. They want to go do this. They want to go and get a fame and everything. They're not going there to make sacrifices.
Right.
The leadership is sacrifice. It's not only going there for yourself. You know, it's going there to set the pace, to set the base. Healing is not achieved up a certain record that will show that tomorrow it will show, you say, look, this person went in there and had this thing down, you know, and other people can build, start the pillar, start the foundation, what other people build on, you know? So that's why we lack of in our country. And as a result, people building on those all 1847 foundations, you know, and it's not having nothing for our country. It's causing more problems than ever before. You see? And that's why that's where we are today.
Yeah, but Reverend Blamo, you know, we went through a war that nearly completely destroyed Liberia. Thank God it didn't completely destroy Liberia. But we had a brand new start. That start was subsidized by a lot of countries and a lot of international organizations. that aided Liberia financially. The Ellen and Boycott government received one of the most financial assistance during their period of 12 years. And within the 12 years, we still didn't get back electricity. We still didn't get back running water. We still didn't get back proper health care. I mean, modernized health care. We still didn't get back education, modernized education. Because if you look at the education statistics from Liberia last year, I mean, the beginning of this year, there was, I think, about 13 to 16 high schools that seniors failed the government exam, you know, all subjects, which was very, very, very discouraging for the educational system. So there was a lot of failure within the Boycott and, I mean, Ellen Boycott's government. Like Joseph Boycott admitted, former Vice President Joseph Boycott admitted during his interview recently, he said that their government squandered a lot of opportunities. He said it. He said, what do you regret? He said, I regret that we squandered a lot of opportunities. Those opportunities could have been in the sense of financial opportunities where money was misappropriated or money was embezzled, which there's allegation that money was embezzled because the Ellen government is known as one of the most corrupt, you know, Liberian government. You know, so there's a lot of things that came from a new beginning that shouldn't have, you know, and we should have started a new beginning and made a better start. But here we are today with the We Are government, and we're heading for disaster. So you said you were aspiring to one day hopefully become a president of Liberia. How would you grade what's going on right now? Would you encourage the War and Economic Crime Court?
Well, the War and Economic Crime Court is a decision of the people. For me personally, I would support any decision of the people, because everybody have their own mind when it comes. There are some people who want to forgive, and there are some people who you have to give it for the opportunity. For me, I'm for justice as well. You know, in as much I'm for justice, I'm also for forgiveness. You know, you cannot forgive, because sometimes people take advantage of your forgiveness and say, look, you know what? Let's forgive other people. People die. You know, like I said, our God is a God of forgiveness, but he's also the God of justice. So we cannot continue to forgive people and, you know, say, okay, you know what? Let bygone be bygone. Sometimes bygone can be bygone. Let the people decide. If the people want the war, crime court, they have the legislature, they have the people represented in the Congress or in the legislature, and they want that to be happening, I will support it. If the people of Liberia, if I become president, if they want the war crime court, I will give them the war crime court. If they want forgiveness, I will give one will accept forgiveness. Based on the idea and based on the people's decision. But you see, for me, I will tell people, and I always say this, I'm always upfront on things. I'm not here to buy votes. I'm not here to convince you to vote for me. I'm not here to tell you, but I will tell you what I would do. But for me, when it comes to crime rate in Liberia, I will do everything possible in my reach if I become president to make sure that we attract people in our country. You see, I will reintroduce capital punishment. You can quote me on this. I can tell people they say I too hard. If you kill in Liberia, we'll reintroduce that person, we'll kill you. If you commit one of the laws, if you kill somebody in Liberia,
Then the artist ends up killing him. Intentionally kill somebody in Liberia. What a true armed robbery or whatever means. If you kill the person, we will go through the judicial system. You'll be given free and fair trial under the laws of Liberia, under the criminal laws of Liberia. If you are found guilty, you'll be hanged. We're going to introduce that. We're going to get people running around killing our people and going to jail tomorrow to free up. And somebody go and kill it again? Nope. You're not going to be under my administration when I become president. And
why not advocate for the war and economic crimes court? Why not advocate for that instead of just saying anything? You're right in a way that it's the people's decision. It's the people's decision to decide how they want justice.
I support the war crime code. And I
good,
also support.
Good.
I support 100% support the war crime code because people need to be investigated.
Good.
People need to be accountable for what they have done
exactly.
And what they are doing to us.
Exactly.
Because you can't just fly passing those things. People need to be accountable. I support the war crime code.
That's good.
I support the war. But I also support the decisions of the people. Not everybody want to go to war crime court. I can't say, but for me, I support it. So if you kill somebody in the past, if you're not come out to say, look, man, I did something, I ask for forgiveness and nothing, it will touch our heart and say, you know what? We can forgive you.
Yeah.
You know, people keep
look, Reverend Blamo. You know, look, justice is blind. Justice doesn't see color, doesn't see face.
Justice is supposed to be blind. It's supposed to be blind. But now this justice open the eyes. It open the eyes and they start to see. Justice is supposed to be blind.
but justice is blind. So, if you're innocent, you'll be vindicated. You know, but it's better to set a standard. To set a standard that this is what we require. And if anybody goes contrary to this, there is a problem. That's it. You know? But the War and Economic Crime Court is very important. Reverend Blamo, it's going to create a lot of change in Liberia. Don't you think so?
Like I said, it's very much important. We're advocating for war crime court. But do you know, too,
it's not just the war crime, Reverend Blamo, it's the economic crime too. The corruption, the looting of the resources of Liberia, that's destroying Liberia.
It shouldn't just be for the war issues. It should be something that we can be advocating for war crime court, then we still got people in our government, we still got people in our country killing people, and we're not investigating them, then we're waiting for war crime court. How can we bring justice to pass war crime court? And we're not bringing justice to this the current situation in our country. That is not fair. You know, the people who are dying or people who die during the wartime stroke, is there no difference from people who are dying on the street, being murdered?
No, they're not. They are not, Reverend Brahma.
You know,
I agree with you. But the problem here is those same people that need to be held accountable are the same ones carrying on those crimes right now because they're used to killing.
They used to kill it. So that's one thing. It shouldn't be in the war kind of issue. And, you know, it should be issue done in both. It should be issue done on all sides. You know?
So, Reverend Blamo, you spoke about your intention for running one of these days. Is it this 2023 or after that? Later, maybe.
It's open, and it's open in a sense. What are 2023 or the next time to come? It's an open situation, but it's still late. People ask But it's saying in the future, you see, my presidency is going to be something different. It will be quite different from all Liberian, you know. I'm not going to be talking too much on what, you see, there are three major things in our country that we really, really need to talk about. You see, the country we have, all it is, we have all it is in our country. One thing is that you look at Liberia, we have a good land. God bless us. I think you hear people say, love God cost Liberia. God is no cost Liberia. God loves Liberia so much that Liberia don't see it, but the foreigner sees it. And that's why they're running into the country. Because they make our heads, or we make ourselves more lower than any other stuff. We didn't take, we are not proud of our own self. We look outside instead of looking inside what we have. And that's what
don't you think it's the leadership? Don't you think it's the kind of leadership?
It's the kind of it starts with the leadership. It starts with I had to go back way back in. You see,
because we
problem.
Keep begging. You know, Liberia keeps begging, going out begging for this, begging for that, begging for money.
Yes, yeah, let me tell you the root cause or the root causes of our problem. You see, it starts from back. But until we can realize that our root causes came from back and know that we can help straighten them. But we want to ignore the past. And you cannot ignore the past to be able to fix the current situation.
And the past is part of the War and Economic Crimes Court that would take Liberia forward. So in this new political arena right now, with the CPP, you know, the collaboration of the political parties in the CPP, are you affiliated with any of those parties?
No, I'm not.
Are you looking at any one of the candidates from the CPP to support?
No, not.
So who are you supporting? George Weah? President Weah?
No,
CDC?
No, party yet. No, I'm not in government. I don't support the government. I don't support any opposition. Because none of them haven't convinced me yet.
So what is your hope for 2023?
My hope for 2023, I'm still watching. I'm still seeing, you know,
Reverend Blamo, what I'm asking you is, let me ask you first, are you part of the Council of Churches in Liberia?
No, I'm not part of the Council of Churches.
Okay. You know, the reason why I'm asking is because religious leaders should play a very important role, you know, when it comes to a lot of things going on in Liberia. You know, so spirituality is very important. Like you said, if the soul is refined and speaks truth, good will come out of it. So, in a lot of ways, the religious leaders should be some kind of role model in this situation to lead the masses in the right direction, and to at times hold the government, you know, accountable. So, what would be your advice? Your influence to others when it comes to the political saga going on right now leading towards 2023. What would you say to the people come to you and say, look, Reverend, we find it hard to decide. Can you help us? What would you say?
Well, repeat the question again. Sorry.
I said that, you know, in situations, in a lot of difficult situations, you know, in Liberia, you know, the masses look towards the religious leaders, the churches,
yeah,
you know, for leadership, for guidance. So I'm asking you, you know, it's a difficult thing for people to fully understand what's going on in Liberia, to make the right choice for the right person to lead Liberia into, you know, change and prosperity. Because Liberia is declining. We all can admit that Liberia is declining. And, you know, we also can factor in that Liberia has a very high rate of illiteracy, you know, and any country or group of people that has a high rate of illiteracy, there is an issue headed for disaster, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, how can you, as spiritual leaders, help these people to guide them in the right direction if they come to you and say, look, Reverend Bramo, look, I want to make my decision to vote for the right person. I'm having a problem in deciding. How can help me? What would you say to them?
I think it's people who have some, I would look for people with credibility, you know, people that have the fear of God. I'm not saying looking for holy people, but people that have the credibility that you think, you know, you have somebody value, people that value somebody, people that have the fear of God. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to have a fear of God. There are people in the society that you see people who have family values, who value family, who value a lot of stuff, you know, that people can relate to. You know, you don't want to go put people there who don't have a fear of God and who do anything they want to. That fear of God, people who pretend it, you know. But people who will be able to connect and say, yeah, look, you know, this person is faithful. This person is committed. This person is he has an integrity. You know, this person got a wife, he got a woman, he's not running around the street getting all kinds of girlfriends. He believes in family values. You know, he's not perfect. But these are people that we're looking for. So I would advise you, look for people like that. You know, people with what kind of character. People that people can depend on and say yes. You know, because with those things, you know, it will help you. It will go a long way choosing the right partner. So I would advise you that you look for those kind of people in our community. We're not looking for perfect people. We're looking for people with value. People who we can relate to, you know, in the future. So these are people that I would advise people look, you know, for the kind of character of people we're trying to, or we think we can, you know, bring in our country, or can vote for. You know, that's the people I would advise people to look for.
Have you been following the political atmosphere in Liberia? Have you been following the CPP?
You see, I've been following the CCP and all this. You see, what I see, what I see in our country, is so much split, break away. You know, they will come, they form themselves, and tomorrow they will form from CCP to CWP to all kinds of stuff. So break away. Same people. You see, same people breaking away. And that's the whole stuff in our country. You know, and that's, you know, if the people who call themselves political leaders can't be stable, you know, cannot relate, cannot be stable with one party, but they break away from some selfish gain. And the Bible talks about it. The Bible said, double-minded man is unfaithful in all his ways.
You're right.
So that's what happened. You know, the people are unfaithful in all their ways. So as a result, how can I go for a party? Or how can I go to get a leader to join a group of people who are not even committed on by themselves? They're just splitting away. You know? So it's hard.
Do you think that's a split?
Where the OLCCP came from? When they want power, they get together. But as soon as they get together, not among themselves, they ask you who will be the head. Who going to be the head? Those other person want to be the head. You group together to get somebody out. And then you can't stay together. You can't stay
there
together.
Two, there are two competing candidates right now, Worker and Cummings. So the CPP members are going to decide which one of the two to carry. What do you think?
Well, I think both of them are qualified to be president of Liberia. So I think the two should decide. The two should decide who should be the head and who should be the vice president. So everybody wants to be on the top, you know. And if they want to get the current president out of office, they have to work together. But if they split, then of course we are going to take it again.
But let me ask you this, realistically.
I'm gonna have 2 times to go now, so I don't know.
Say what?
I almost have 5 more minutes to this because I want another engagement. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Reverend Blamo, as a spiritual leader of Liberia and to the world, what would be a spiritual message to Liberia, especially the youth? Looking at all the mysterious killing, you know, mysterious death that has been plaguing the country. What would you say to the people and to the government? What would be your advice?
To Liberian?
Yeah, to Liberia and to the Liberian people and to the government. Concerning these issues of death, concerning the lives of Liberians that are very important. I don't care who is it that died, that person's life is important. It could have been a homeless person, nobody knows him, his life is important or her life is important. So how can you change the minds of the Liberian people to do away with that kind of behavior?
I can't change the Liberian mind. What I can say is to love. If I love her and mother people change,
I can't hear you too good.
I said, I can't change the mind of Liberian people, but I can tell them that they should have love for one another. And love comes
right.
A multitude of things. Yeah. You know, if we are to build that country, it should be true love. I know we have our differences. I know we have our ups and downs, but it takes love to do a lot of stuff. So I will call our people to rally together. Forget about the trouble and let us rally together as one Liberia. You know, everybody has a connection somewhere, but once you become a Liberian, you are, you know, a Liberian to work together and to rebuild our country. So
that is true.
What I have. Yeah.
That is true. And we do appreciate it. And we appreciate your time, Reverend Blamo.
Thank you very much.
And we hope to have you again. Have a blessed Saturday.
You too.
May God be with you and your family.
And you too. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Reverend Philip Blamo, a Liberian missionary in the United States. We're discussing issues from Liberia, issues of Liberia. There's a lot of things going on in Liberia. He's a spiritual leader. So his conversation into politics is kind of limited because from the pulpit, he sees things a different way. And it was a pleasure to have Reverend Blamo here today, and we'll keep in touch with him. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. We'll get back to some music right now before we get out of here. It's a difficult world out there, you know. Let's play this song. The song by Jody Clark, Game Over.
It's those music, baby.
It's Jody. Back with another one. Make your body move that.
Game over. First you have to be game over.
Game
she wants. She work her body just to get whatever. She's the life of the party. She know how to work everybody. Mchezo ya hatari, yani tamu kasukari, anavyopatika, ananitishisha. Aha, Marco sweet like you again. She played that game, she played for me. When she gave it to you,
came over. When she gave it to you, came over. When Marco gave it to you, came over. When she gave it to you, came over. When Marco gave it to you, came over.
Marco say she from Tupuro.
Jody Clark, LIB recording artist. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. The time now is 11:10 a.m. and it's Saturday. And the number to call in is 563-999-3612. 563-999-3612. That's Radio Talk 101.3.
Sisters, look there, down in Africa, down in Egypt, they have the first intonation, spreading around the world like wildfire, like a plague. Oh, what's going on? It's to the roll call. It's a call to the world, to the leaders of the world. You can't be holding on like that, like it's your own. Nah, we gotta change the system, we gotta change the world. Hey, huh, I'm talking about the new generation coming out. I can feel it in the air.
Ooh,
come on,
come on.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world.
Dangerous
world. Hey, I can't believe that America's changing the colors. Red, white, and blue to red, white, blue, gold, green. The colors of the rainbow, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And where's the United Nations in all this situation? Who's gonna stop the slaughter of the Libyan people? You know what I'm saying? And where are the leaders of Africa? You know they can't even solve the problem in Ivory Coast. How they gonna even solve the problem in Libya? It's a serious situation.
I can hear the crowd of people. I can hear the cry of the world.
What we gonna do? What we gonna do?
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world.
Dangerous
world. Some say I'm political. Some say I'm controversial. What do you say? You know the truth and I know the truth. What we gonna do about the truth? Hey, yeah. Obama in a timeout? I don't know. He sounds like a clown out. Yeah. It makes me wonder if G. the Bush was around, what would be going on with the crisis around the world right now? Yeah. I know he put Charles Taylor in a lockup. Now there ain't no way he's gonna lock out. Yeah, I want to say to our Christian and Muslim brothers around the world, just love one another, make a better place for our children for tomorrow. Yeah, you know.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world.
Dangerous world.
Dangerous world.
Are we living in a
dangerous world? Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Are we living in a dangerous world?
Dangerous world. Dangerous world. Dangerous world.
Dangerous world. By Otto, a.k.a. Sugar Vaughn, LIB recording artist. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Yeah, let me talk about Mr. Alexander Cummings a little bit, the standard bearer of the ANC party in Liberia, and one of the candidates within the collaboration of the CPP. There are two major candidates that are competing for the candidacy of the CPP to go against President George Weah in 2023 for the election. One of them is Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. The other is former Vice President Joseph Newman Boyka. But I want to take this time today to talk about one of them specifically. Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. Liberians, Liberian people, let me tell you something. I'm sure you guys have heard the recording that is already circulating, that is going around. It's going around the media. It's going all around. And this recording has the leader, the standard bearer of the ALP party, Benny Nyerere, on the phone talking to an individual about Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. Assuming previously he had just had a conversation with Mr. Cummings. And after that conversation, when he left Mr. Cummings, or when Mr. Cummings left him, he got on his phone, on the phone with this gentleman, and was talking about Mr. Cummings. Talking about Mr. Cummings' finances. Are you kidding me? Mr. Urey talking about Mr. Cummings' money? My people, Liberian people, Ben and I, Urey, was gossiping about Mr. Cummings. How much Mr. Cummings has. How much money does Mr. Cummings have? That's what he was gossiping about, Liberian people. He was talking to this person on the phone saying, "Oh, I heard you, the man got no money, oh, that coming man, that I say, the man got no money." That's what he was telling this person on the phone. And it sounds so ridiculous. And it tells you what's going on within the CPP. Urey, Boyka, and Dylan and the rest of them, they are making a divide against Mr. Cummings. Liberian people, ask yourself, my people, why are they doing this to Mr. Cummings? Why are they saying all these lies about Mr. Cummings? Say Mr. Cummings is a gay. They say Mr. Cummings want to bribe people. All these are lies about Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. This is a man, Liberian people, that you can be proud of in the world. And say, look, we have a Liberian leader or a Liberian philanthropist, a humanitarian who has a philanthropic organization that is doing a lot of good things in Liberia and around the world. This is a man that has never been involved in corruption, especially in the Liberian history of corruption. This man has earned education. This man has worked his way from the bottom to the top and was blessed enough and fortunate enough to become vice president of one of the Fortune 500 companies in the world, Coca-Cola, controlling billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of employees, and dealing with billions and billions of people around the world. That's Mr. Alexander B. Cummings, a man with credibility. Liberian people, a man you can trust. A man that has clean hands. The man hand cleans, my people. The man hands are clean, my people. No stealing. The man don't steal like those other Liberian politicians. The man has his own money. Now, Benidah Urey is on the phone gossiping about Thunderbird, that of the ANC, Mr. Alexander Cummings. You know, when Mr. Cummings went decided to run for the presidency the first time, they called him a stranger. Liberian people, y'all called the man a stranger. And the man, a Liberian just like you all. The man was born in Liberia, went to school in Liberia, did all the funny things Liberian kids did. But yet and still, you call him a stranger. Why? Because this man took his time to desire to get his education and then travel and work his way through the working world all the way up the ladder to the top. And made his money. Now he's a millionaire. He has his philanthropic organization. He decided to go back to Liberia and help his people. and you call him a stranger? You should have received him with welcoming hands, wholeheartedly. Our son is back home to do the right thing for us, to make our home better, to lead us into prosperity. That's what you should have done to Mr. Cummings. But sadly, you called him a stranger. He's not a stranger, librarian people. He's not a stranger. He's your son. He's your brother. He's your uncle. He's your nephew. He's your friend. He's your cousin. He's your man. Ain't you know how is it? My man. Now my man. Now my begin. Mr. Cummings is a Liberian just like you. Just like you. And he deserves all opportunity you give every other Liberian. Be fair to him too. If you can't be fair to Liberian, to Mr. Cummings, how do you expect to have a fair system in Liberia to all other Liberians? Because Mr. Cummings is just the same. But all he wants to do is to make Liberia better, to make the lives of the Liberian people better. Liberian people, Mr. Cummings is the right man to choose to be president of Liberia 2023. That's the only man that can get Liberia out of the hole. Don't listen to Bennett Ayuri. Don't listen to Heron Costa. Heron Costa is trying to please his father, Bennett Ayuri, because his father, Bennett Ayuri, decided to support Joseph Boyka a long time ago. Bennett Ayuri doesn't want to support Mr. Alexander Cummings because he knows Mr. Alexander Cummings will bring the war and economic crimes court in Liberia. Period. That's why Mr. Ayuri does not like Mr. Cummings. Because he knows that if Mr. Cummings wins the presidency of Liberia, he will bring in the War and Economic Crimes Court. Mr. Cummings will not tolerate corruption. He will not allow corruption in his government, my people. That's why they don't like Mr. Cummings. If you are corrupt, Mr. Cummings will prosecute you and he will put you in jail. Mr. Cummings told him. He said, I will have to put some of my friends in jail if that happens. Because Mr. Cummings is a straightforward man. Mr. Cummings is not in no corruption. His hand is not in the cookie jar like all of them. The Ure, the Boyka, all of them. Madam Ellen Johnson, Salif, all of them, their hands in the cookie jar. George, we are all of them. They're corrupt. Joseph Boyka should do the honorable thing. Former Vice President Joseph Boyka should do the honorable thing and step aside and turn it over to Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. First of all, former Vice President Boyka served 12 years with former President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf in one of the most corrupt governments of Liberia. Liberian people, you listening? Ellen Johnson Sirleaf and her first lieutenant Joseph Boyka served for 12 years as leaders of one of the most corrupt governments of Liberia. So think about it. Before you go to the polls to vote Liberian people, think about it. Do I want the same old corrupt man to come and do the same thing and to continue to allow Ellen Johnson Sirleaf to manipulate the Liberian people and to continue to loot the Liberian resources and steal the Liberian people money? ask yourself that question. Or ask yourself, do I want a man with integrity who will lead Liberia, not rule Liberia, but lead Liberia into change and prosperity? We eradicate, we get rid of corruption. We prosecute those who are corrupt and lock them up and put them in jail. That's the kind of man you should be thinking about for your president. And that is Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. Mr. Alexander B. Cummings got nothing to be afraid of because he never stole with them like them. All of them know about each other. That's why they support each other, like grand people. The Uri, the Boycott, all of them, they are all corrupt criminals. Now they want to take another 6 years of the Liberian people time and money and wealth again. Do you know that Joseph Boycott complains that he lives on loans and all of that? He's not a rich man, but yet and still Joseph Boycott has $21.3 million in the bank. Joseph Boycott is a millionaire. He has $21.3 million, and he's complaining he has no money. Where did he get it from? Liberian people, ask him that. How did he get that kind of money? How can you be living on loans if you have $21.3 million? You're a millionaire. But the point here is that Joseph Boycott told the Liberian people that his government for 12 years working with Ellie, for 12 years, they squander a lot of opportunities. 12 years. Can you imagine, Liberian people? He served for 12 years as a vice president. And he admitted that they squandered the Liberian people money, resources, other things related. For 12 years. And he said he was a race car parked in the garage, waiting to be put on the track to win all the races because he's a fast race car. But they don't want to put him on the track. They're keeping him in the garage. For 12 years, they have kept him in the garage. And now he wants to come back and be the president. A car, a race car, that sat down in a garage for 12 years and didn't move. It's not a race car to race 12 years after. Because the kind of race cars they're using now 12 years after, they are more modernized. And you are not competitive enough to compete with those. So step aside, race car that have been in the garage for 12 years. You are obsolete now. All your bolts and nuts are rusted. You can't function no more 12 years after in the kind of race we're having with the kind of race cars we're using now. Things have changed. Technology have changed. A lot of things have changed. So step aside for the new race car that is not going to be in the garage, that is going to be on the track winning and making changes. It's logical. Liberian people, it makes sense. After 12 years, you've been sitting in the garage, not even moving. 12 years later, the kind of cars they're making, the kind of race car they're making, you can't compete with them. They are faster, they are better, they got more technology into them. They're sophisticated. You can't compete. That's who Mr. Cummings is, Mr. Alexander Cummings. 12 years after, you've gotten to not just 12 years, another 6 years added. That's 18 years. Cummings is too sophisticated for you. Mr. Cummings is too fast for you. Mr. Cummings is too straight for you. He's too strong. And he's ready He's ready to tackle all the issues of Liberia. That's who Mr. Cummings is. Mr. Cummings is ready to kick off on day one, like he told you. On day one, he's going to freeze the traveling of all government officials and issue the audit of all government agencies, ministries and agencies, and all government officials, including the president, the former president, the executive, former President George Weah. That's what Mr. Cummings said. Not mainly for corruption, but because that's the right thing to do. Before you take over any business, you must know what's there in the business, how much money is there, what you're meeting there, what is left there for you to deal with, to handle and work with. You should know it. You should know how many people are there, how much they've been. You should know everything about the business before you take over. That's what the audit is about. That's what an administrator does, and that's what Mr. Cummings told you. To tell you that, he's the right man. He's going to do the right thing on day one. And then if there's any source, anything there about corruption concerning anybody, any ministry, he's going to issue the Ministry of Justice to investigate and prosecute. And if you are found guilty, you'll go to jail. And that's what Yuri and the rest of them don't like Mr. Cummings for. Do you understand, Liberian people? Look, you have to sit down and think about it. Your life is what matters now, Liberian people. You can see what's happening to you. The hard times, the suffering, the poverty, how poor you people are. It's not that you people don't want to work and want to be poor. No, you people don't have the opportunity to work and to make an honest living, to live a good life. You don't have it because the government is not providing it for you. They're stealing everything, stealing all the money. Because the president and the rest of them are involved in it. So you need to think twice, Liberian people. The next man, think to yourself, say, look, the next man I'm going to vote for, I want that man to change my life. I want that president to make my life better, me and my children, my family. I want that president to make my life better, to make things better for me, to see hope so that I can be able to see that there is hope in living. That's the kind of president I want, and that's the kind of man you want is Mr. Alexander Cummings. Mr. Alexander B. Cummings is the man that can change Liberia and change the lives of the Liberian people. Like I told you, Mr. Yuri was on the phone gossiping about Mr. Cummings, about how much money Mr. Cummings had. Mr. Yuri is a millionaire in Liberia. If you Google Liberian millionaires, the past 12 years, I mean before Mr. Cummings came, Mr. Yuri is Liberia's richest millionaire. And he's worried about another millionaire, Mr. Cummings' money. Why? Why, Yuri? Why are you worried about another man's money? Mr. Cummings got his money honestly. He worked hard for it. He never stole a cent. He didn't bribe anybody to get to his success. He learned the hard way, and he worked hard from the bottom till he got to the top. And when he earned his millions, he decided to bring all his millions back to Liberia. He didn't say, I'm going to stay abroad and use my money there, because that's his right. But he decided, sweetheart, he and his wife, he said, let's found this foundation that we can be able to go to Liberia and help the Liberian people, help our country, and help other people around the world, in Africa and around the world. And that's what he and his wife did. they founded this organization, this philanthropic organization. And they have been helping people in Liberia, Africa, and around the world. So this man didn't selfishly make his decision. No, he had Liberia in his heart. He had the Liberian people at heart. He was thinking, he said, "When I'm going to make all this money and be able to go back to my country and make a change and be able to do something real that will affect the Liberian people's lives, that will change their lives and make a difference for them, because my people have been suffering. They have been starving, my people. But I want to make that change." And that's why he went back to Liberia. Don't call him a stranger. Welcome him, Liberian people. Say, "This is our son." We'll welcome him back home. Do what he came to do. Amongst all the candidates in Liberia, Liberian people, you know all of them. You know Joseph Boyka. He was there 12 years with Ellen Johnson Sirleaf in one of the most corrupt governments. Look at the oil company. They bankrupted the oil company. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's son, Robert Sirleaf, and Joseph Boyka's nephew. He was working at the oil company too. They bankrupted the oil company. Joseph Boyka received, look, there's allegations of corruption of Joseph Boyka. He has to answer to it. He already answered in some way. Said the squandered opportunities of the country. That includes money, finances, financial opportunities. And today they are millionaires. He and Ellen Johnson and the rest of them. But they pretend not to be. He lives in our house and don't want to repair it. It looks that way because he wants you to think he doesn't have money. But he has money. He's a millionaire, Joseph Boyka. $21.3 billion. Ask him how he got that. But Mr. Cummings can tell you exactly how he got his millions. He's a respectable man. He's an honest man. He's a family man. He loves his wife and his family, his children. He loves his country and his people. He wants to make that difference. Cummings wants to make the change. And he knows that the only way anyone can make a change in Liberia right now, effectively, right from the get-go, is the president of Liberia. Is the president of Liberia. From the first day in office, he can change Liberia. And that's what Cummings wants to do. He does not want to steal the Liberian people money. He does not want to corrupt the system. He wants to straighten the system, my people, how we always say. He wants to improve the system. He wants to make it better, that it works for the Liberian people, in the interest of Liberia and the Liberian people. Choose Mr. Alexander Cummings. Don't listen to Benedict Ayuri. Don't listen to Henry Costa. Henry Costa from the COP. Let me tell the COP followers. COP is a strong pressure group in Liberia that have made a difference over the years because of their advocacy, because of their commitment and strength to issues. I applaud you all. But think twice before you decide on your choice for presidency of Liberia. Don't allow Henry Costa to use the CCP like the COP like a black vote. You know, don't allow him to control your vote. This is a democracy. You should be able to decide who you want. Even if you are a member of the COP, if you decide that you want to vote for Alexander Cummings, you should be able to vote for him. Because he's the right person. He's the right choice. He's the better candidate. He's the best candidate amongst the three. So don't allow Cummings, don't allow Yuri and Costa to control your vote. No. Because whatever happens tomorrow will affect you. Costa is living his life. His father, Yuri, is living. He's a millionaire. He can always give him money. Costa has nothing to worry about. But you, Liberian people, that are feeling the hardship in Liberia, the unjust situation that is dealt to you there, you are the ones to decide who you want to employ to be your president 2023. You want a president that will do the job, that will change your lives and make them better. That's what you want, Liberian people. And that man is Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. An honest man. That's what you need, Liberian people. First, a God-fearing man, like Reverend Philip Blamo said. First, a God-fearing man. And Mr. Cummings is a God-fearing man. Mr. Alexander Cummings is a God-fearing man. He has one wife and his children. He respects his family. He respects his wife. He respects his marriage to his wife. That's the first thing about Mr. Cummings. He respects that union that was blessed by God. That shows you that Mr. Cummings is a credible man. If he can respect his wife and his family, he respects his mother and his parents. He's a respectful man. He's a man that respects humanity and respects the law of God. That's a one man, one wife. And Mr. Cummings is an honest man. A very honest man. Does not steal, does not cheat. Has no intention to bribe nobody. He went to school, got his... Went to school, got his education, honestly. Got in the workforce, started working from the bottom. Honestly, all the way to the top, till he became a vice president of one of the biggest companies in the world, Coca-Cola. A vice president. To become a vice president of Coca-Cola is not an easy thing. It doesn't matter who you are, what race you are, what country you're from. No, it doesn't matter that. It matters about your qualification, what you know, how your capability of handling this job, your competency. That's what matters. And Mr. Cummings, being a Liberian, had all of that, all those qualities. And was chosen and given that position. And he served that position with honor and dignity. And is highly respected amongst his peers. There are pictures of Mr. Cummings with world leaders, millionaires, billionaires, businessmen, socialites, you know, activists, humanitarians, all kinds of people. Cummings has earned that status. He's an honorable man, an honest man, a hardworking man, a man that is interested in the well-being of everyone around him. And he motivates everyone around him to make them better. And the qualifications that Mr. Cummings has, the competency he has from being a vice president in such a Fortune 500 company controlling billions of dollars, millions of people, Mr. Cummings can definitely in the affairs of Liberia and can handle it better than Joseph Boycott, who has been parked in the garage for 12 years, didn't do nothing, and don't know about how to handle anything. He was there. He said he was there and didn't do nothing. So what can he do? Plus, He's going to be 83. No, he's going to be 80 years old by the time, by 2023. Joseph Boykin, retire. Go back on your farm and enjoy your life, as you said, and be an advisor, an elder to the next fast race car that is coming to change things in Liberia and make the lives of the Liberian people better, that is going to take Liberia into the 21st century with lightning speed. From the first day in office, he's going to make changes. Support your fellow colleague, Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. Because that is the honorable and the right thing to do, former Vice President Boykin. We love you. But you can't handle the affairs of the presidency now. Liberia is in a desperate need for a leader that is quick on his feet, fast thinking, and knows what he's doing, and has the contacts and capability and competency to move Liberia forward, to bring back the credibility of Liberia around the world. That is Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. That is the best choice and hope for Liberia, the candidate to lead Liberia into prosperity, is Mr. Alexander B. Cummings, Liberian people. My people, I've said it all. Vote Mr. Alexander B. Cummings. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. We love you. We've had a good time here. And we've been talking about the issues in Liberia, especially the coming presidential election. That means a lot to Liberia. And tune in same time, 10 a.m. Saturday morning next week for a very interesting program with Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. We love you all out there, and have a safe Saturday. Blessed one, also. Wear your mask. It's the coronavirus, and the variance is causing a problem. It's surging. So all our listeners, all our friends out there, we love you all. Keep safe. Have a blessed day. It's Bismarck right here on Radio Talk 101.3. Tune in same time, same station next week at 10 a.m. to Radio Talk 101.3 with your host, Bismarck. We love you out there, and let's get into the song, Are You Serious, with Otto, a.k.a. Sugar Bone. Are you serious? Mr. Yuri, are you serious? Gossiping about Mr. Cummings. Mr. Costa, are you serious? Spewing lies about Mr. Cummings. Wow. This is Bismarck right here on Radio Talk
101.3. Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah.
Yeah, this is Bismarck on Radio Talk 101.3.
Are you serious?
hold on. But the poverty is just as bad that you just can't walk away. I wish I could see how many families didn't have no home at all. But if you're living up in Beverly Hills, you would never know what's across the rails. You would never know what's across the rails. You never know what's across the rails. You would never know what's across the rails. Across the railroad, still don't got no food to eat, and that dad still can't find no 9 to 5. All I see is the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. You know, can't you see?
I can.
If it wasn't for the good old Lord, I don't know where we would be. You know, 'cause I can see and I can't believe. No, fighting wars for what belongs to us all. Who made you judge and jury?
Who gave you right to the fury?
Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I wanna know if you're serious.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I wanna know if you're serious.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I wanna know if you're serious.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I wanna know if you're serious.
Yeah. Are you serious? Many not hearing, are you serious? You know what I'm saying? This Bismarck, man. These folks, man, how can you be a millionaire discussing another millionaire's money, man? Are you kidding me? Seriously. Every day is a miracle.
Yeah. To my Father upstairs, thank you, Lord, for life, for life,
for life.
I can see you by the time you live the night, when my days were too dark and I couldn't see you.
I can see my dream. Every day it's a miracle.
morning. I was living for the world and losing my soul. I went to bed and I woke up to another day. If it wasn't for the Lord, how could this be? Many times when I couldn't even identify, for the fear that the man would come and take my mind. I would think of my daddy used to teach me survival. Now daddy's gone, I can still hear. I can see him in my dreams every time I'm in pain.
Liberian girl, oh my Liberian girl.